Leviticus. It's a precious place in the Bible. Go to the book of Leviticus with me, if you will. I've been over here in the book of Leviticus swimming around for a while. I got over there thinking about Leviticus 14, that leper getting clean. I got hung up on that during Jubilee week. Boy, when that booger, the only time that we have recorded in the scripture that a leper fulfilled the law in Leviticus 14, the only time we have that is when Jesus healed the leper and told him to go back and do what Moses. What I'm saying is, if the great physician don't do the healing, you won't need no. That's when you go looking for a bullock or a lamb or a goat or a turtle dove. It didn't matter if he was rich, middle class, or poor. God made a way for every one of them to be clean. I sure do. I got hung up over there thinking about that. Good stuff. Boy, I'm telling you. But when you get to Leviticus chapter number 21, lessons in Leviticus, you get over here in Leviticus chapter number 21, it seemed to me like an odd thing. I like them odd places in the Bible. It just makes you want to walk down through it, swim around in it. It's kind of like the other night when I got hung up over there in, talking about what kind of animals you eat. And it said the only animal we're supposed to eat, only fish we eat, is them ones with fins and scales. Yeah. Fins get the fish where he's going, but the scales keep the muck off of the fish. We in the world, but not of the world and getting through the world. Can I hear it? Amen. And then the birds that we eat is the ones that spend most of their time in the heaven, don't spend a lot of time on the earth. Amen. Don't spend a lot of time eating carrion or rotten in flesh. They just, I say, get hung up over there. There's a lot of lessons there. In Leviticus chapter number 21, there's another lesson. Look with me, if you will, in Leviticus. It's a little too high, Austin. Leviticus chapter number 21, verse 16. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron, saying, whosoever he be of thy seed in their generations hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. Now about right there is where we might ought to stand, because this is going to get good. All right, this is weird. Oh, I just feel like I got a suitcase that I got to unpack tonight. Look at this. Great God. I'm preaching tonight. I got to tell you the title, On God Goes by the Scrap Heaps. Look with me in this verse number 18. For whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, cuts us out. Every one of us is eat up from the foot to the head. Say amen. He shall not approach. Listen to this. Can't minister. We can't be a priest. And did he not say that he's made us kings and priests? I ain't going to spend a lot of time there. But if Aaron is a type of Christ, and he is, then his sons are the type of believer, and we are. How'd they get to take part of this? It was by birth. Woo! Cause they was, are y'all with me? Sons of the high priest. Now look at this. He said they can't offer bread, can't approach God. Verse 18, if they blind, or if they lame, or if he hath, now y'all got to get this, verse 18, a flat nose. That's weird. Or anything superfluous. Just throw anything else in there. Verse number 19. Or a man that is broken footed, or broken handed, or crook back, or dwarf, or that hath a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy or scabbed, or hath his stones broken. No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron, the priest shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish. He shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God, though he had the right birth. The law still cut him out. He's going to have another birth before he can. Woo! He's going to go by the great physician. Hey, unless he has a visit at the great physician's doctor office, at the hospital of the great physician, there ain't going to be no hope for them ministering bread to their God. Did y'all see that? I'm in the book, ain't I? Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the Bible. God, I want to do my best. Lord, it might be a series. Might, Lord, just touch the skirt, the tops of the waves. Whoa, but I sure am glad that one day when I was outside, one day when I was born in a good family, in a group of people that went to a church, oh God, there come a day when I had to have another birth before I could come and minister bread for my king, before I could come and serve you, before I could be a priest, before I could be a servant. They had to be a new birth. Oh God, I feel you. Our presence in the house tonight. I want to thank you for what you've already done. And God, I just want to say, if you'll help us, Lord, we won't say nothing more, nothing less. Help us not to be worried about anything, but pleasing you. Not worried about tomorrow, not worried about time, not worried about things. But God, help us just to get some help from truth tonight. Oh, yes. I'll thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I'll thank you and pray. Amen. You can be seated. If the Lord would help me for a little while tonight, I want to preach on flat-nosed followers. I want to preach on dwarf disciples. I want to preach on crook-back Christians. I want to preach on scab, scurvy saints. And I want to preach on broke hand, broke foot believers. Can anybody say amen? Woo! They all in this, amen. Now, Adam is the image and likeness of God. And let me just say, I'm saying that because all through the Bible, there's types and pictures of Christ. Just as Adam was formed from the virgin earth, I'm glad the last Adam came through a virgin womb. Can y'all, anybody say amen? Thank God, just as God made him Lord over everything, I'm glad the last Adam is Lord over everything. And so not just with Adam, but also with Aaron. He is a type of Christ. And his sons are a type of the believer. They had to be called. Woo! I'm glad we had to have a call. Say amen. They had to be anointed. Amen. They had to become sanctified, set apart, or holy. And they could not be contaminated, and they could not be crooked, and they could not be dwarfed, and they could not have imperfections. They had nothing superfluous. They couldn't have any blemish. Now, can I say, their job, if they fit the qualifications, was to be the servants of God and to dispense bread. Can I say bread? It comes from seeds. Most of us tonight would admit that we are sowers of the truth. Even not just preachers, but believers. And we get tore up trying to figure out if we gonna mess the seed up. Can I just say tonight that the sower don't mess up the seed. Am I right? The sower don't mess up the seed. The seed quality is based upon who produces it, who purchases it, who provides it. Don't have a thing sowing it. Don't mess up the quality of the seed. You don't have to sow it like I sow it. The seed quality is good. There's going to be good bread provided. Brother Randy, I'm thinking about what you told me the other day, what you read. Don't y'all want to have a touch of God on you? Don't y'all want to be full of the Holy Ghost? Don't y'all want to have spirit running up and down you? I told Jeremy and him, thank God I want to be so full of God that when a mosquito bites you, he wings his way toward heaven and says, there's power, power, power in the blood. Are y'all with me today? Woo! I'm telling you, I want to have a touch of God on my life. I want God to be used me. I want not just to be a son of a new birth, not just somebody that can sow seeds, but I want to make sure that I've been to the great physician every time I go to church. I want to have a checkup. I want to make sure I'm not developing a crooked back. Make sure I'm not, don't have a broke foot or a broke hand. I want to make sure, amen. I want to make sure I'm fit for service. Are y'all with me? Now, Isaiah 42:16 says, he'll shine light in darkness and he'll straighten out the crooked. I'm talking about somebody that can make the crooked straight. I'm talking about not just make you straight, but he said, I'll make the crooked places straight. I'll make your crooked steps straight. I'm glad we are in this thing with someone that has the power to straighten us out and the way out and everything on the way out. We ain't got to worry about it. We just sow the seed and be fit for service. He'll straighten He'll straighten out the crooked and the crooked ways and the crooked. Amen, preacher. That's a helping me. I know I'm getting too excited about my own preaching, but it's helping me tonight. Thinking about God going by the scrap heap.
Yeah.
Most of the time, crooked back, not fit. Broke foot, broke leg, not fit. Cute little Davies. Cute boys. A lot cuter than me. Broke, anything broke. Not fit, blind, not fit, lame, not fit. Just let me say this. God can tell that your lameness is going to benefit his service. Because remember, God uses the weak to confound the wise. If your personality can do it without God, he probably ain't going to use you. He's going to use somebody that he can get all the glory out of. Don't worry, I went to Miss Helen's today. Don't think it. He can't get around. He can get around real good scooting. I seen him getting around army crawling. I thought, dear God, he's going for the door. That's the way every Christian ought to tonight. Go for the door. Hey, is everybody with me? Hey, great God. Look what the text said. Let's stay in the text. I'm going to get tore up for dawn. Now, God uses a blind man if he changes him. God will use the lame, the crooked back, the broken foot. He'll use them with a flat nose. What in the world's that got to do with anything? He'll use them, brother. What others call scrap, what others call coal. Y'all know what a coal peach is. We live in peach country around in South Carolina. Y'all know what a coal peach is, don't you? That's one shriveled up, dried out. Ain't got no juice. Nobody don't want. can't even hardly give them away. Woo! I'd go further, but are y'all getting, feed them to the hog? God uses the coals of this life to glorify and edify his name. He'll put the crooked, broken in service for him. Now, according to the law, can't do it. But I want you to think about this with me. All believers are priests. If priests are supposed to sound a trumpet, are we as believers not supposed to sound the trumpet? If the priests are in the running for service because of birth, then are we too not able to serve because of a second birth, because we've been born again into the family of God? If it was their duties to hand out bread and partake of the bread, then shall we not hand it out and partake of it? Amen. Hey, but thank God, all manner of life. If they're supposed to be set apart and holy, then how shall we think that we can serve our high priest and not be set apart and holy? God help us to be holy. I want y'all to look with me, first of all, at the ones that the Bible calls blind. Now think about this with me. The Bible calls them blind. The blind, a blind man. A blind man can't see. A blind man sits in darkness. A blind man cannot discern what he reads unless he can go by his feeling. But a blind man requires some other human being to hold his hand. He requires assistance. He must be led around. Y'all see y'all getting where I'm going? Oh, hallelujah. He must walk most of the time only when the one leading him. Woo! Thank God being blind. Hallelujah. He doesn't see the ordinary distractions of life like most folks would. Thank God, a blind man, he can serve God acceptably and he can serve the Lord acceptably, but he's going to have to go to the optician and he's going to have an eye examination and he's going to have some eye salve and he's going to have some eye spectacles. Oh yes, hallelujah. And when he walks away, he'll walk away seeing 20/20. And you know what John 20:20 says? They saw the Lord clear. Hallelujah. Thank God. What a blessed thing for the Lord to come where you was when you was blind in your sin. And the Lord said, though you're blind, hey, the God of this world hath blinded your mind. And the God of this world hath blinded you with your own sin, with your own self-righteousness, with your own self-compassion. But you're blind. Ain't you glad one day that God shined a light and a blind man saw, and we saw how lost we was, and we saw how much he loved us, and we saw the scriptures, and we saw the saints, and we saw the Holy Ghost bringing us to Jesus. The blind man, the lame man, hey, so many of them I want to deal with tonight. The lame man, brother, he can't walk unless somebody carries him. Oh, you ever think about this? The lame man can't hardly walk straight. If he's really lame, like I said, somebody's gonna have to carry him. But if he's not carried, his steps is crooked. Oh, I'm glad today God knows how to straighten out our crooked steps. Oh yes, amen. The flat nose. The flat nose is somebody who cannot discern their left hand from the right. They can't discern right from wrong. That word nose always in the Bible speaks of discernment. They have no spiritual discernment. They have no leadership. Hey, their smeller's not working good. Are y'all following me? Their discernment's not working good. They think they can go down there and drink a little toddy before they go to the potty and go to bed. Y'all with me? They think they can have a little drink, a little snip. They drink. Then what's wrong with them is their smeller's not working good. They need to go have some, hallelujah, surgery by the great physician. Yes, sir. I know some men, and I love them, and I don't want to disrespect them, but I'm going to tell you right now, what you get one man, he ain't living right for God. He's just living like he wants to. And in our day and age, average church has got a whole handful of them. Oh, yes, that's right. Oh, God help us. Amen. And they don't discern what's right and wrong. They'll say, well, it's all right. Don't worry about it. Let's let it go. It'll be all right. Don't worry about what that preacher says. He's just seeing too much into it. His smeller's too sensitive. My wife said, I got a sensitive smeller. I can't stand stinky stuff. I can't stand it. I don't like going in a stinky place. I don't want to steal stinky clothes. I can't handle stinky trash. I don't like, hey, I got a sensitive nose. I said, I got a nose like a bloodhound. As a Christian, we are to have a discernment that is keen, that is smart, that is on tune. Amen. We are to be able to tell what kind of ingredients is in their spiritual pizza just by smelling it. Amen. Thank God. Any person whose smeller's effective, amen, whose smeller's messed up, he's always in danger of contracting a disease. It don't work right. It don't clean right. Oh, yeah. In the wicked world we're living in, a good smeller is essential to keep yourself out of the mud holes of this ungodly world. There are some people who don't see no difference in using different Bibles. They don't think it's nothing wrong with listening to contemporary music. What's wrong with them, preacher? Their smeller's messed up. They got a flat nose. They need to have some discernment in there. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Thank God. Hey, is everybody all right? I got to thinking about that old boy. I used to know, man, he smoked more cigarettes than I did when I was lost. He'd get up behind the pulpit and preach, and I thought to myself, my God, how mercy, how is it that God convicted me when I wasn't even a preacher to get rid of that cigarette smoke because it was hindering me witnessing the people when I was knocking on their door, and God just seemed like let him go. And I thought, well, God, are you playing favors? Why does he get to do that and I don't get that? And I just thought to myself, God woke me up one day and said his smeller's messed up. I mean, I'm serious, y'all. When I smoked cigarettes, it didn't stink. When I quit smoking, now they stink. Are y'all following what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, you'll see something wrong with it. When you stay in stepping in tune with God, hallelujah, God help us. I need to be more in step. I mean, some people don't see nothing going, don't see nothing going wrong with going to these Valentine's dances, going to the prom parties, and they don't see nothing wrong with doing laying out of church on Sunday, and they halfway come to church, and what's wrong with them? Well, the smeller's messed up. They ain't got no discernment. Amen. God help. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Broken footed is a person with a broken foot. He's unable to walk. Amen. That's the fourth thing mentioned. He said he uses help. He the only way a broke foot man can walk is he got to use crutches. He must have some visible means of support or he can't walk to church. If it ain't always high, he can't come to church. If somebody ain't crutching him up or propping him up, he can't come to church. If somebody ain't petting him, he can't come to church. Amen. Visiting the sick, going to knock on doors, to going to see widows, going to tell somebody about Jesus. Well, that's crazy. That's out of the question. He has to be shored up of somebody. Amen. Thank God. Now, I'm going to tell y'all, I needed shoring up tonight. But there ought to be some times I can cheer up some other people. Amen. Thank God. I want to say this. Thank God not only the broken foot, he can't walk. Matter of fact, he can't walk right. He can't walk circumspectly. He can't walk honestly as in the day. He can't walk, period. His walking's messed up. The smeller's messed up. God help us. Broken-handed man, he can't work. You know what a good broke foot man and a good broke hand will do? They can warm up a pew. They can holler and scream. They can make a lot of complaints, but they won't lift one of their fingers to do a thing. We got some broke. Woo! He broken-handed, broken-footed people, they're good bench warmers. That's about it. Loud talkers, complainers. But when it comes to lifting loads or pulling their load or throwing in or doing something, they ain't gonna do it. They just think you're blessed by seeing them come in the door. They don't even bother to give a cup of water. Be a blessing to get a coffee once in a while. They won't even give a water. Amen. Whoever set this up here, thank you for giving your preacher a cup of water. Some folks wouldn't do that. They won't pick a lint up off a table. I'm telling you, I wire my kids out when they walk over a piece of trash in the floor. Well, I didn't put it there. Well, bless your heart, I didn't either. Get it up if you see it needs to be done. I don't know what it is about Christian. Well, I didn't sign on for Wednesday nights. You signed on for church, and we having church on Wednesday night. Amen. My wife, I said, well, you know, maybe we ought to move service to Tuesday night. And miss some of the ball games. Move it to Tuesday night. Maybe we mess up. Maybe we'll move it to Thursday. And for Thursday, I just said, hey, Thursday, that's good. That might be closer to the middle of the week. We'll move Thursday. She said, I ain't going to do it. I ain't voting for it. And I said, why, honey? Because you'll be looking somewhere to go on Wednesday. He sure would, too. Right. Hey, what I'm saying is we like to go to church. I don't look for a reason not to go to church. I like going to church. Are y'all with me? I love going to church. Thank God. They never entertain angels unawares. Matter of fact, they don't entertain nobody. They don't even entertain a thought of what you're preaching. They really don't even want to hear it. They just want to be there and be seen. Broken-handed, broken-footed. Amen. They'll leave somebody bleeding on the street. Hey, God help us. What they need, Brother Jeremy, is to go to church. And they don't need petted. They don't need the fur rubbed the other way. What they need is a good old-fashioned bone setter. Lock that thing down. Nobody likes a bone setter. Nobody likes Davis over in Ruffton. Everybody hates him because he'll pop that thing back in there. He don't pansy around. He don't pamper it. Just rock it down. Are y'all following me? We got to go to church because we get broken-handed, broken-footed. Need fixed bang. Is everybody? This is what they do most of the time. Now, I ain't talking about nobody here. This is what they do most of the time. Yeah, somebody needs to go over there and do this. And, man, we need to go over there and do some visiting. I don't know why nobody ain't going to visit. Wonder why we ain't got nobody to come to church. Ain't that what we pay the preacher for? My God, have mercy. Take care of the preacher, do everything for him. Oh, yeah, he's bragging about that church car breaking down. Yeah. Is everybody all right?
Yeah.
I'm just telling y'all, thank God they make a lot of noise and do very little effort to make anything different. They don't need no nursing. They don't need no, what they need is a good-fashioned bone setter. Amen. A crook back. Notice what the Bible says. I looked at that again in verse number 29. It said crook back, Brother Jeremy. It don't say it. It looks in my Bible like it don't belong there, but it's what it says. It says crook back. I know some crook back preachers. Balaam in the Bible was a crook-back preacher. Yes, sir. Something's gone wrong with the spine. Woo! I just got that. Something went wrong with the spine. Fresh in. Something wrong with the backbone. They won't stand for nothing. Jellyfish. Amen. I'm tired of these pansies. I'm tired of folks who won't take a side.
Well, I don't want to take a side, preacher.
Why? Well, stand in the middle then. Get shot from both of us. Amen. Whichever way. Hallelujah. You're going to have to dive in the hole. Thank God. You know what Moses said? He drew a line and said, who's on the Lord's side? Come over here. Rest of you going to get swallowed up. Hey! Woo! Great God. I like some. I don't like that drooping and stooping. I like somebody am I right? If you get a crook back, I've got some precious ladies that's friends and pray for me. And I'm telling you, they stooping.
And they, and you know what they do? Spend most of the time looking at the ground. Hey, and less time looking up. In fact, it's a struggle to look up. You say, preacher, what do they need? They need to go to the chiropractor called the great physician. That's what they need to do. You see, they get focused on what's down below. I know Balaam was. He was focused on filthy lucre. That's what Jude said. There's also crookback Christians. Y'all do believe that, don't you? Crookback Christians. Achan was one. His back was so crooked, he got looking at the gold and the silver and the garments of the world. That's a crookback Christian. Yes, sir. Matter of fact, I want to just go on record and ask kids, I like you. Is they a Judas among us? He was a crookback. Wasn't he a crookback? That's all he looked at was the money going in the bag. I don't believe there's no Judas among us. And what Esau, crookback, Simon, crookback, yes, sir, yes, sir. Ananias and Sapphira, typical crookbacks. Is everybody all right? God, I don't want to be no crookback. I don't want to be broken foot, broken handed. No, sir. I don't want to be no dwarf. A 70-year-old, 3-foot person is hard to look at. And there's a lot of people been saved 40 years.
Yeah, tell it. Go ahead.
And they spiritual dwarfs.
That's right. Amen.
Arnold Brown told first time he man, I wasn't saved long. And Austin, he'd done been born about 5 days. That's enough to go to church, wasn't it? 5 days. I didn't look to keep him out for 2 months. I wasn't looking to keep him away from this. I feel like if he's going to get exposed to germs at Walmart or at the grocery store or at family members, there wasn't nothing wrong to come to church. Right. So I sit him right down there, and that might have been a mistake, but I sit him right down there in front of Arnold Brown, and he slobbered all over him. Amen. And hollered and hooped, and I don't believe it's a mistake, though, and just sat there and enjoyed every bit of it. Amen. And the first time I ever heard him teach, this is what he said. He said, there's a lot of people that's 20-year-old Christians and they're 40-year-old Christians and they're little babies. And God help us, they're dwarfs. And God said, I can't use it. Amen. There's a problem somewhere. Hey, they don't need nurse. They don't need dangled on the knee. Is everybody all right? Great God in heaven. They don't help us, Jesus. They're spiritually stunted, scurvy and scab. You say, we ain't got no scurvy and scab people in here. I don't think we have none of these. I just want to make sure I point them out so if they come in, we'll all recognize them.
Amen.
Is everybody all right? We don't need no scurvy and scabbed. What do you mean, scurvy, scab? I tell you somebody that's scab. When the choir leader looks over at the piano player, I seen this happen in revival one time, and told them that they need to slow it down. I seen her get a scab come up. And everybody saw it too. And the scab got big. Y'all know some people with a scab. You ever seen people with a scab? They always wanting to pick it. They just won't let it get better. They always wanting to pick it. Always wanting to pus to ooze. Always wanting to cause trouble. Everybody's already eat supper. Y'all stay with me. I was thinking about it the other day. They come into church and they mad because the preacher don't call them. Well, they might not call on because they ain't been here in 14 years. They might not call on because they miss about 17 services. They might wait on the Holy Ghost to lead them. Is everybody all right? Why does a preacher call on the same person to sing 14 times or the same person to pray? I hope and try to pray that God has given some kind of discernment and direction. And if it's really on you and you want to sing, I got a song. Brother Dwayne, you help me, brother. You was helping me before you ever sung it. I didn't know what you was going to sing. Just by the way he's talking, thank God. We don't need the scurvy and scab servants of God. And by the way, I went to Burger King the other day and that woman that was serving us, she had scabs all over her arms and I got a little nervous. I'm just going to be honest. Nobody wants to eat bread from a scabbed up servant. Is everybody all right that's mad? Great God in heaven. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We all got blemishes, y'all. Everybody. And ain't none of us going to be fit unless there's another birth.
But ain't none of us going to stay fit unless we go to a great physician. You know what we need? I'll go to the chiropractor. And, son, how long did you wait before you came to me? Well, I've been going to chiropractors for about 20 years. He said, well, how long was it before then? I said, well, it was about 23 years before I started going. He said, well, son, you still ain't caught up with how many years you waited before you went. It takes a while. Now, the one that really knows what they're doing, they're going to do it in steps. I've seen them. I've watched them. I about can figure it out now. If I had me a machine, I'd hook myself up all day. I believe I could pop myself. If I could just, people say they do that trans, you know, where they come out of their body. If they did that, why would they not pop their own back? I mean, I don't know. They'd fix stuff. You know what I mean? They'd work. It's always good to have two set of hands. You know what?
Amen.
Can't do that, bunch of devils. Are y'all with me? Levitating. Yeah. I got some levitating. Quit rubbing your belly and putting a little dot between your eyes, and you might get some help from Jesus. Amen. Here's what I'm saying. You can't get somebody come in to serve the Lord, scabs all over them, broke hand, broke foot, won't walk, won't work. All they do is complain. All they do is gripe. They holler the louder. They're spiritual dwarves. They won't do nothing for God. They're going to have to be a great physician. There's going to have to be a constant visit to the office. Are y'all with me? The altar's the office. That's where he does his work at. I like it when he works on me. Every one of us has got blemishes. I'm just glad to be at church tonight. And I thought, Lord, there's a whole lot of preaching in that. But if you just let me just share a few thoughts. Because he done about half the preaching before I ever got up. Actually, I just had a little Bible study. He done all the preaching. The preaching was tonight that we was in the scrap heap and ought to be now.
Yep, that's right.
But yet we get to go to the great physician.
Amen. That's right.
That's the preaching,
yes, sir,
that went on.
Right.
Most of us, if we'll be honest, we thought he throwed us back in the scrap heap.
Yep. Amen. Oh, yeah.
We, yeah. We thought... Yeah. In fact, if we was him, we would have thrown ourselves back over.
Right.
And we felt like we ought to be back over. Broke-handed, broke foot, can't do nothing for God. Feel like a little old spiritual dwarf, can't do. But ain't you, by all intents of the law, you can't come. But because of grace.
Right.
Because of somebody, thank God, that has made a way. We have a high priest, thank God. Not after this order, but after the order of Melchizedek. And we can run to him. He's a supernatural. Hey, thank God for the goodness of the Lord. Aren't you glad today that thank God he's of the tribe of Judah? Thank God he's that kind of priest. He's that high priest that'll never die. You will never have to face judgment. There's always help at the feet of Jesus. He's the great physician. We've all got blemishes, thank God. And until we get born again, and until, thank God, get in Christ, because he don't have no blemishes, then all those blemishes are going to be seen. And the further we get away from him in our fellowship and our walk, the more those blemishes show up. We have to go to him all the time. I'm just telling y'all, they sometimes he's got salve for me that I ain't never had before. I wished I'd brought it tonight and I didn't bring it. I got some salve called achy bones. Well, I ain't never needed that till the last couple months. 43, I didn't know it could be this rough. And brother, listen, I couldn't get my finger off, it swelled up big. And I went over there to the doctor, the same chiropractor. She said, let me take a little something. She put a little dab on. That thing turned red. Ring came off. I didn't go there for her to do that. I didn't even know that was going to be dealt with. But she broke out some salve. That stuff went. I said, how much is that? Give me some of that. What I'm saying is, Brother Jeremy, sometimes we come to church, we don't even know we got problems.
Right.
And it'll go showing up on us.
Yeah.
We don't even know that's on the menu. And God will say, hallelujah, if you need this, I got it for you. If you need this, I got it for you. Somebody testify, and they say, boy, that's hitting right down my row. I need that. That's what I'm going to need. God goes by the scrap heap. He goes by the coal pile. He goes by. You know, I used to get some cheap lumber over at Henson Timber. It was coals. I'd get it for about a third of the price. And if I played my card right, they'd just bundle it all together, and I'd get it one price. The world said, just bundle that Landrum into, they bundle them up. Hey,
oh, yeah.
Bundle them, coals,
right.
Crooked.
Yeah.
Look at them, hump, knots, everywhere. Look at them, hey.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the dwarf, cut down, broken up, cracks. Woo! And you can take that stuff, especially if you got Keith Russell, and make some pretty stuff out of it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, hot to break, great God, get that master carpenter. Oh, I'm telling you, he can do it, y'all.
Yes, sir.
What I'm saying tonight is, if we be honest, we all got problems.
Right.
And we all got issues.
Right.
And if it wasn't for him coming by where we was, we'd still be in the coal pile. But when we find ourselves edging back over to the coal section, ain't you glad you can go to the great physician and get fixed up? Blind can walk away seeing. Lame can walk away leaping. Oh, hallelujah. Crook back. Now, y'all got to admit this. As Christians, we develop the crook back sometimes. I'm not talking about when people see you. Whoa! As soon as they walk away. Y'all ain't never done that. Y'all pray for me. See, I got a duty to be happy. And you do too. We have a responsibility. Let me put it like this. We have a responsibility to be happy. It ain't fake. It's the truth.
That's right.
But there's times when ain't nobody looking. We over there crying in the corner.
Right.
We crooked over.
Yeah. Right.
The longer you stay like that. I asked my grandma, I said, okay, does that not hurt? She said, no, no, ain't no pain at all. Now, physically, she's crooked over. I don't know if she'll ever be straight. I don't want to get like that, brother.
Oh, I know, brother.
I see a lot of preachers.
Yeah.
And all they see is the bad ways church members treat them, and they get bitter.
Yeah.
They see the bad things happen. Listen, my truck quit, but I made it to the house. Brandy, I got gas in that thing. That's a full tank. Ciphering it out, brother.
Yes,
I got a full tank of gas. I pulled in the driveway. Got the rear end fixed. Transmission rolled up. Same time. What's the chance of that?
Amen.
I had a choice.
Yeah.
I just said, well, glory.
Amen.
Reckon they'll take it back? No, they won't take it back. Well, I ain't going to put that kind of money in that thing. Lord, have mercy. I'll just wait. I found out the other day that the transmission in the four-wheel drive Yukon will not work unless you change the plate. What about that? I might have one going. I don't know how it's going to work. May not. I had a choice, brother.
Yeah, amen.
Yukon quit 311,000 miles. 311,763. I believe I got that number right. Got three new tires on it. Yeah, Dwayne, don't let nobody go over and get that, okay? Three tires. I mean, like brand new. I was glad I didn't spill nothing. I was in the line to spend $50-something to pay my taxes. And the thought crossed my mind, I ain't waiting in this line. I'm going to go to Columbus. I broke down before I get there. Say 51. I'm telling you, I said, wow, I didn't spend my taxes.
Amen.
Yes, sir. I'm going to turn that in, pocket that $51. I was excited about that. Thank God. Brother Jeremy, all of us got things going on. And we can let it beat us down and put us back over in that crowd that he found us in. And if you don't watch it, you start looking like that same shriveled up. Brother, he said it right. You ever seen one of them batters? I mean, just sides caving in on it. That's a call. We ain't got to be like that. You know what we do? We come to church and get charged up. I mean, it just feels like we get flooded up. Everybody's going to go through them things. It's what you do when you're in there. That's going to make the difference. You can gripe about your broke foot and never had it set. You can gripe about your broke hand and never have it set. And never do another work and never do another walk. And all you can do is complain about everybody that you think gives you an excuse not to serve God because they ain't serving God. And all you can do is gripe the loudest and not gonna, and about half come in and half care if you don't come in. You can do that. Sure can. And be saved and go to heaven. No doubt, yes, sir, you can. But how many people is going to trip over your bad testimony, fall off in the hell? How many people is going to see you and say, I don't want them serving me. I don't want no bread from them. They scabbed up. They scurvy. They infested. They mad and huffy and tore up about every little thing. God help us. I like what Brother Phil Beck said. He said, I wouldn't even go to church if the preacher didn't make me mad half the time. That was good.
Yeah.
I liked that. He said, every time my family leave, you ought to give them a raise. I said, my God, the church can't do that. They already think we're crazy. How good y'all take care of us? They crazy. Listen, if I look at this number of people on a Wednesday night, the missionary that came by here and preached to us on Wednesday night, Mongolian missionary. Y'all remember him?
Yes, sir.
Great man.
Yes, sir.
Doing a solid work. And right now, they are under bad. They need prayer. They're in dangerous territory right now. Muslims and Turks, they're in bad territory. And that old boy come in, you know what he said? Preacher, y'all got double the size of an average church with 300 or 400 people in on Wednesday night. He said, I don't judge the church by Sunday morning. I base it on that Wednesday night crowd. That's the... I know we got sick, and I understand that. But y'all know what I'm saying. He said it the other night. 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And it's like that 80% of the time. And thank God, hallelujah, that we got the 20%. Don't get cooked over about the... Don't get, ain't nobody else serving and ain't nobody else. Don't do it like that. Let's go to the great physician tonight.